Now we're in part three, which is the reading from the letter to the Romans. Chapter 8, verses 35 to 39. Our reading edits out verse 36 because it's a quote from a psalm. I don't think it's so bad to read it. But we are now what? We're at the conclusion of chapter 8. Now, I've mentioned this a few times before. When Paul starts in Romans there, I am not ashamed of the good news, the Evangelion. Why? Because it's the power of God unto salvation. The good news is the fact. Now, if I give this example one more time, you'll scream. But it's a good one. Let's see. Suppose I said the Yankees won. Well, then the Yankees lost. I mean, it doesn't make any difference. But say won. You root for the Yankees. So you say that's good news. It's only good news if they won. It's the winning that's the good news, transmitted to you by word. So the word becomes, as it were, by participation, good news. But the good news is the reality, not the words. You got that? You see? And so that's why he says, I'm not embarrassed, I'm not ashamed of the Evangelion. It is the power of God unto salvation for every believer. That is chapter 8. The power of God for every believer. You see? And that's what we're... And now we're concluding chapter 8. That's what we're doing right now. And it's so beautiful. Now, he's going to talk again about the prothesis, the plan of God. But he starts, you see, with, now, what or who will separate us from the agape of Christ? We're joined to him. He has laid hold of us. And he loves us. Now, what's going to separate us from that love? Anguish or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or the sword? Those are pretty formidable obstacles, right? From the love of Christ. And he said, no. In all these things, we conquer overwhelmingly through him who loved us. Now, the text, we're super conquerors, the text says. But this is good enough for us for now. You see, Philipsis, stenokoria, diagmos, you know, anguish, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword. These are obstacles, right? But they cannot separate us from the love of Christ. Why? Because it starts with him, not us. And if we're talking about here, the love with which Christ loved us, and he has laid hold of us. If we sin, we turn back to him, but he has laid hold of us. You have to fight to get out of his grasp. That's love. So, he's come now to the conclusion of the key chapter in all of Romans, the one we're on now. You see, and it starts, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. You know, it's the power of God. You've been back there in 118. And now he says, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has freed us from the law of sin and death. The law of the Spirit of life, what's that? That's the Holy Spirit. Isn't that what Jeremiah promised? I will put my law within them. Isn't that what Ezekiel promised? The law. The new law, as St. Thomas says, and before him many others, is the Holy Spirit. The new law is not an enactment. It's a living, divine, vibrant, loving person. And so As it is written, for your sake we face death the whole day long, and we are counted sheep for the slaughter. No problem. You know, that reminds me of a story I heard in one of the concentration camps. It was the last day of Sukkot, which for them, for the Jewish people, is a special feast day. It's called Simchat Torah, the joy of the Torah. So the old rabbi there in the concentration camp, they're starving to death, they're beaten, humiliated, and he said, my brothers and sisters, today is the feast of Simchat Torah. So let us make merry as God has commanded us. So there in the concentration camp, they began to praise God, love God, sing songs to God, make merry because God commanded it. Isn't that beautiful? That's faith. And now we have the very body and blood of God Himself. Can't we get happy? You see? And so that's what he's talking about. Okay, now he says, in all of these things, Iper Nikomen, we are more than conquerors. So we are super conquerors. Because of the one who loved us. Isn't that great? Am I a super conqueror because I practice virtue? I get up and pray. I fast 3 times in the week, what the poor Pharisee said, twice a week. Is that why I'm confident? I'm nuts. No, I'm confident because of the one who loved us. He loved us first. He's not going to back away. All of us know that. We have sinned and he came after us. Isn't that beautiful? You see, so when we preach, that's what we preach. You don't start, repent! Who's going to listen to them? They don't even know they're sinning. Show in your being, in your face, in your voice, in your words, the love that Christ has. And then tell them, you're on your way to darkness unless you change. But it's coming from love. Does that make sense? Do you hear what I'm saying? You see, This is the word of God, you see. So in all these things that he's talking about, and we're counted sheep for the slaughter and so forth, and all of this, we are the super conquerors because of the one who loved us. Now, I am certain, and now he goes through this whole list of things, that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor special kinds of angels, you know, principalities, nor things that are present or things that are coming, or powers, I guess, yes, height or depth, nor any other creature will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Think of that. You see? Think of that. I am convinced. If you want to get free of the love of Christ, you're going to have to work at it. Now you can. A friend of mine, written it out, had a vision of a guy, and he was being held down by a whole bunch of demons. You see, he just died. And they're going to drag him off to hell. And they have the right to. He'd made contracts with them. He'd done all this stuff, you know. And Jesus is standing there. And he says, look over there. You see? That's heaven. You see them all over there? They're waiting for you to join them. Just give me your life, and you'll join them. And the guy spit in his face. So they dragged him off. Nobody goes to hell unless they want to. It's not a surprise. It's the choices we make in life. You see? No creature will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. You see? Now this is a hymn. You see? Now, we tend to trivialize the human person. Oh, my heavens. Just look at all the ads we're bombarded with every day. Thinking we're so stupid, so dominated by our senses, that if they dangle a banana or anything, you know, well, we're going to go for it. Are we just orangutans? No. You see? We think that so long as you belong to the right movement and do all the right things, you're okay. But God says, I want you to have my Holy Spirit produce in you, like living flames of love, my own perfection. Isn't that beautiful? That's what he wants. This is what this text is telling us. You see? Then you will love me, radiate me back to myself, do divine works on earth, form a body of my Son, be a bride of my Son. And you will show forth how great and glorious my work is, so that people are awed to see what I can do in weak human flesh. This is something I wrote that I'm reading to you. But Mother Cabrini, Italian woman, wanted to join a religious order, but her health was too bad. They couldn't take her. She came over here and cared for the Italians mostly, but for everybody, for the poor, built 12 hospitals, 15, I don't know, founded an order. You know, this was the woman too sick to join an order. But see what God did with her? You see? This is what I can do in weak human flesh. What about these young girls, 15, 16, ready to get married in that culture? You say, no, I've given my life, my body, my virginity to Jesus. I'm going to belong to Jesus. The guy who had already made the arrangements with her parents is mad as the dickens, right? So he turns her over to the court. She's a Christian. Kill her. And they do. Why? Don't you understand? If in that culture, and the Romans saw this clearly, a young woman is able to determine her own future, you are going to break the whole culture of Rome. Men run it, not women. And so if a woman can now have the right to say, no, I'm not marrying, I'm going to be married to Christ, you've got to kill that type, because they're going to ultimately force the whole structure of Rome to crumble. Because it's not built, it's built on power, not love, okay? And it gives this freedom. I'm convinced that nothing can separate us from the love of Christ, the love of God, really, the Father in Christ Jesus. And that's the end of his famous chapter 8. It's all about the Holy Spirit. You know? I'll conclude with this remark. Seraphim of Sarov, a great Russian monk, mystic, a newspaper reporter went out to talk to him. They did that in those days. So he's talking to him. Father Seraphim, what would you say is the purpose of life? You know what he said? The whole purpose of life is to acquire the Holy Spirit. And the word he used in Russian, I'm told, is a business term, acquire. Acquire the Holy Spirit. That's the meaning of life.